Hey, everybody. It's your buddy Dom. Thank you for checking back in with me. Podcasts have slowed down a little bit. I'm trying to do my YouTube thing, but that's also slow because I'm learning. We currently have construction going on in the basement still, so my studio is somewhat compromised. However, there is a break in that construction right now, so Doc Leota, who you heard me talk to on the podcast a few weeks ago, got a really good interview lined up for me, this one is, it's tough, but it's also beautiful, so stand by with me. Unfortunately, back in 2004, one of the brothers that we lost in Fallujah, his name was Aaron Austin. I'm sure you've heard me speak about him on here. The guy had a smile and a laugh that, you just can't forget. It's something that, I can focus on it right now and see and hear. Beautiful thing. He was an awesome guy. He was a bad motherfucker. Excuse my language. And I say excuse my language because my guest today is Aaron's mother, Dion. Dion, how you doing, babe?
I'm fine. How are you, Dominic?
I am doing great, and I just want to say thank you very much for agreeing to do this with me. I'm really happy and proud to have you on my podcast at all. Thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. I've enjoyed listening to your podcast.
Thank you very much. You are one of my few fans, and I love you guys so much.
I doubt that.
Well, we're trying. We'll do it as a family, okay?
Okay.
So, folks, like I was saying, you know, Aaron was a very important guy. I don't feel the need. Dion and I were just talking about it. I don't feel the need to go into that day. You can trust me when I say that it was a terrible fucking day in that terrible place of this world. But some real Marines, some real warfighters had to take care of it. Unfortunately, we didn't come home. Those guys didn't come home 100%. But it takes men like Aaron Austin to take those kind of objectives. So I don't say it lightly when I say that we all miss him very much. However, his mom, Dion, you have been, you have filled a role that is very different for all of us. I know that we call you our, what do we call you, Echo Mom or our Platoon Mom or something like that, Marine Mom. Do you remember?
Yeah, different people call me different things, but I hear the mom reference, and it's an honor to me. It's for me, it's a God thing, because I do have like about 100 other sons now.
Right.
I know if Aaron would have lived, probably most of you I'd never have known. He would have, y'all would have been his, you know.
Yeah.
And I did know a few names, because I have actually chased the Marines since Aaron went in.
Of course.
We went to, me and my cousins went to the Marine Ball and well, not to the Marine Ball. We took my cousin up there to go to the Marine Ball with Aaron and Jamie Vance, and got to spend a couple of days. And, of course, Cruz and I were close from the get-go.
Yeah.
He got bothered by me a lot.
Yeah.
Me emailing for special requests of, I'm having trouble with Spanish. I'm having trouble with math. Can you pray for me during this time? And and so several I knew, but nothing like what I know now.
Right.
And so I don't try to replace anybody's mom, and I know y'all don't try to replace me with that. It's just, well, I don't know how to describe it, except that it is a God thing, because I've had, I call them tender mercies.
Right.
And y'all are at the top of the list on that.
Well, Well, let me ask you something. You probably don't know this about me. You and I have gotten to have some really good conversations at the past two reunions, but I don't know if we went far into this. My mom growing up, single mom, my sister and I raised me, best friend. I mean, I am what I would imagine, Aaron, also just mama's boy. And so my mom was everything to me. I lost her back in 2020. And so when I found out that you were going to be at the first reunion, my initial thought was like, oh my gosh, how do I even approach her? What do I say? Da, 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 da. But
I know it's a scary thing.
Yeah. But I mean,
when the mobs start showing up.
Well, I don't think it's scary whatsoever because it reminded me a lot of my mom, but I'm thinking, you know, I'm putting myself in that position, and I know my mom growing up was so good of friends with all of my buddies. All my buddies loved my mom. She was like the cool mom, blah, blah, blah. But if this situation was different, and that happened to me, I know my mom would get so much out of still having that contact with the guys that meant so much to her son. Like, do you feel that? I mean, I have to say that you do.
Oh, I do. I absolutely feel that. And, I don't know if you know that I was in the military, in the Army, for 5 years. Aaron was with me in Panama for like a year and a half. I feel like that's when it really kicked in with him. But when I talk to any of y'all, I light up. I don't know how to explain it except that y'all are mine.
Yeah.
And it's not anything any of us asked for, but that is how it turned out.
Right.
And I think I'm so thankful to have y'all in my life. And the reunions are, they're just everything. And I've heard people talk about, you know, being apprehensive, especially if you haven't been in 15 or 20 years that you've gone to one, and you're like, well, I really don't know if I want to see all these people or whatever. But as soon as everybody gets together, it's just that bond that there's no silence. There's not that discomfort. It's just on.
It's open arms.
You know? Uh-huh.
It's really just open arms.
It is.
How many of these have you been to?
I guess our actual first one was, I believe it was the 10-year. And my husband and myself and my great-nephew, Weston, he went with us. And then I went... that I know of, I've only missed one, and that was one that was a couple of years ago. But I went to Colorado. I went to Broken Bow.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only female to even show up there, and I thought, well, y'all just live with it. I'm coming.
Absolutely.
If anybody needs a bed next door or
even
in the same room, that's fine. But I'm going to show up for as long as I'm physically able. I am getting older.
Hold on. You're talking about showing up and being physically able. On the 20-year reunion podcast that I did, I spoke about you. I spoke about, you were there with me. All the families, all the children, like, but to see you at the top of that mountain that was very tough for most of the guys was incredible.
Well, Cruz carried me during the really hard times, and I knew what I was getting into. In fact, I'd already said, well, I'll just have to ride on the Humvee because I do have emphysema.
Right.
I try to keep my legs strong, but my lungs are, I mean, they're not the worst in the world. I'm not on oxygen or anything. Yeah. I have my inhalers. But when we first rallied out there,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm going up. I posted it. I'm going up. I don't know if somebody will have to call me. Went up. I mean, if somebody will have to carry me. And a few times Cruz did have to carry me, and then Heath worked behind Shoemate. He had my back, and I would tell Cruz, okay, I'm good now. Put me down, and, you know, I can go a little while longer. But I thought, no, I have to do this.
Yeah.
The 10-year one meant so much to me. You know, we kind of had to sneak up that one because the same thing happened with the mudslides mm-hmm. and all that. But I can't remember who it was talking to. I think it was General Tulin. When he was talking to us at the 10-year, he was saying, we're not going to be able to do this. Tears just burst out of me. I thought, no. I was in my jungle boots, had on my
right
BDU shorts, and Magana turned around to me. He said, we're going up. I didn't come all this way.
No, yeah. We know a shortcut. Yeah.
And then Sergeant Major Skiles, a little later, he pulled me over. He said, are you going to try to go up? And I said, I can't lie to you. I said, yeah, I'm going up. And he said, who are you going up with? I said, my husband and Magana. He said, okay, you'll be all right.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I honestly had no clue. I figured we were going to talk to you about, and not to call you some kind of punk, because clearly you're not, but I just figured we were going to run back into you back down on the parade deck, and then I see you walking up there. I was like, holy shit, did a helicopter bring? And then the guys told me, no, she made it on her own. I said, I will be damned. That was amazing.
The best picture in the world is, and I even called Cruz my camel. I said, he's my Cruz, like thinking of
yeah.
cruising in a car. I said, he's my camel, and I didn't add in. He really didn't even get that many drinks of water, but
right.
That will probably be a profile picture from now on, because it just totally spoke to me.
Absolutely. Well, camels don't need that much water.
That's right. But it just spoke to me of how y'all have carried me.
Yeah.
And that's been, you know, that can be metaphorical or literal. Y'all have carried me, and I don't know that anyone even knows how true that is.
Well, I know I can speak for everyone when I say thank you, and we all do appreciate that, of course. But I'm not sure you have an idea of the impact you've had on everyone else either, Dion, because, you know, I'm not the only one who's lost their mother, right? Or even if I had my mother, just for you to be there, that figure, it helps. You know, there's something about it that's like, okay, you know, it means a lot to have you going out of your way and showing up and traveling and all that stuff. You know, it's not easy getting to some of those places, especially Broken Bow. That wasn't easy to get to.
No, and they really had to. See, I'm not a driver at all. I mean, I drive around our little town here that has one grocery store and no hills.
Right.
But when Leota first let me know about Broken Bow, I started checking on airlines. You know, okay, if I leave out of Hobbs, and I came up with this one airport, and Shoemate said, you'd have to come in a crop duster plane
yeah.
there. No, Dallas is the near. And I'm like, oh, well, I can't do it because I can't drive in that kind of traffic. I learned to drive on turn roads.
Yeah.
And I'm sure 10 million drivers would appreciate me not trying to face that fear. So, but anyway, the short of it was Leota got back hold of me, and he said, is this really the only reason you're not coming is because of driving? And I said, yeah, it's really the only reason. And so Gomez came from California and picked me up. I rode there with him, and then Boykin and Leota drove me 3 hours back to Dallas to catch a plane to make it to Lubbock, and my sister-in-law picked me up there and got me home the rest of the way. So, you know, like I say, I've chased y'all. I went to the 2003 birthday, not at the actual event, but I was there in San Diego when it was happening. And then I probably didn't put enough thought into this, although it turned out fabulous. But, you know, they got back in October, and me and like 12 to 16 other family members showed up in November out at Temecula. And I think there was like four of us that went into the actual ball, but we all went there to, we love y'all. Like my sister, my sister-in-law, they listen to your podcast. We love y'all.
Thank you.
Y'all just don't know what you mean to us. And so, like I say, for as long as I'm able, I will make it to the reunions. Now, Leota said to me when he was giving me a ride to the ride to LAX at our last one, the 20 year, he said, "What's it gonna take to get Greg, my husband, to a reunion?" I said, "Well, he was at the 10 year, but right now our dogs would have to die for it, because we do have three dogs. Two are 70-pound puppies, and one of those is deaf. You can't trust them for 1 second. Has to be
right.
You know, you of course, yours is probably a little older, but
a little bit.
But he said, "Well, maybe we can come see you sometime." But my husband, he's awesome. He takes he took vacation so that he could stay at home with the dogs.
Wow.
And I could go. Yeah.
And see.
And
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that it's.
I was going to say, he works like 14-hour days. So
right.
To take a vacation to take care of the dogs. Of course, he's their daddy. I'm their mama. But,
right.
So I have such a support system.
Yeah.
I'm good.
But we all have that. And that's funny, too, that you talk about Greg, because that might not be on the surface. It might not look like that big of an issue, but all of us around. I had guys at work that did things that went out of their way to make sure that my shifts were covered for this one because they knew how important it was to me. And you've got Greg taking time off work, and all of these families and all these people, they spent money on travel and or not. And, you know, and everybody showed up, and that's what it takes. But it's the outcome that is so worth all of the support and all of the driving and the flying and the effort that goes into it. You know, the outcome of that is so much bigger than these little things that we're focused on, because it's tough taking off of work. It's hard traveling.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't even drive, it's real hard traveling. And now you got a guy coming from California. It's not just some guy. It's freaking Carlos Gomez Perez. And he's done way crazier stuff to help people out. But you know, it takes a village, and I think that a village like ours is very different than most in the best way I can say it, you know?
Oh, I absolutely 100% agree with that. I told Gomez one time, I said, you know, I know everybody has their sorrows and their losses, and I said, and don't take this wrong, it might sound kind of bad, but if I had to go around the world choosing which sorrows and which losses I would take, I said, I would still choose the one that I have, because we have each other. And he said, that doesn't sound bad at all.
Wow.
That makes perfect sense. That's, if I have to be in sorrow or in joy or trying to figure out something with somebody, I've got the best people in the world. And I know this because, like I say, well, I was actually in and called Austin for longer than Aaron was. I was in the Army for 5 years. And and I have a few close friends from there that we met back up on Facebook. But it's nothing like how we all are.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know what makes that kind of difference.
I just think that when you're put in situations like we all were, especially those guys who went back in 04 to Fallujah, I just, you know, that bond is one that you can't buy that. You can't click on Amazon and they'll send you one to your house. That only happens to a very small percentage of human beings that have ever lived on this earth. And I just don't, it's non-duplicated. So, I mean, that's huge. You know, it's so important. Yeah. And it's so big. And the unfortunate part about this, and a thing that I think we're all kind of trying to change with legacy, of course, is that I know a lot of guys that do not have this. They might know their one buddy and he was the blah, blah, blah. And they're still good buds and they check in now and again and tell each other Merry Christmas. But there's not 200 something of those guys that all care to get together. And is that because, yeah, is that because they don't want to? Probably not. Right. Because I have to imagine most of us are at home kind of thinking the same stuff and have the same concerns and worries and, you know, all the same emotions. We're all human beings. But for some reason, we're a very small, I'm talking Echo 2-1 is one of the very few that do stuff like this. And I think that's something we really need to change for mental health reasons, for all kinds of good reasons. But you know as well as I do, and I've only been to two, these things are just too important.
I feel exactly the same way. And I think that reunions are going to be more of a mental health answer than what people can possibly even realize. Because, like, right, you're not necessarily going and sitting and talking to your therapist, your husband or your wife or whatever, but you are going into a group of, well, y'all are brothers.
Yeah.
And then just to hear that they're going to try to do it yearly, mm-hmm, when it's 10 years or even 5 years, that's too long.
Yeah,
life is, I'm 69.
Yeah.
You know, I said, I know there's no way I'll go up that hill in 10 years, not just because I'll be 79, but y'all will be 50. I'm not letting a 50-year-old carry me.
you'll be in more danger if one of us are carrying you than you would be on your own.
But, you know, if you can have something to look forward to every year or two, because I think you probably see the older you get, the more quickly you see how time just goes zip.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where did that week go? Where did that month go? And you kind of have this to hold on to and look forward to and put one foot in front of the other.
Right.
And make it to the next time.
When, you know, something that I really enjoyed about it, and I had a bunch of reasons why I avoided these for a long time. I've told this on my podcast before, but again, I don't know if you and I had even talked about it, but I did not go back to Fallujah with Aaron and the guys. I was in the first one in 2003. So, and then my mom got sick. I got out, blah, blah, blah. So there were a lot of reasons why I didn't feel like I needed to go back or to the reunions. And that was for those guys. And I love them and respect them so much. I don't want to insert myself in something that I wasn't a part of and this and that, but there were no,
hey,
like all the war stories and shit that all stayed at home. We were all just cracking up and having a good time.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I'm friends with several, that did not go back.
Yeah.
And I want y'all to know, it's nothing, although I know people carry guilt, even mamas carry guilt.
Sure.
People can buy on guilt quicker than anything in this world. But no, you did the right thing. And I know there are others that their time was just up. It was time to get out. No one should feel guilty about that. And you were still a brother when you left. You were a brother after you left. No, you, and I am so glad that you got to talk to, well, I guess is Major Wagner now.
Uh-huh.
It yeah. He was lieutenant yeah. back then, but I feel like that he helped you know that you made the right decision. I talk about not just memories are what's important and what you hold on to, but living without regret.
Right.
Too. Because I've told people it's not just death that robs your children away. Y'all will see life does that too.
Right.
Because they get grown, they get married, they go away, and hallelujah, you get to have your grandkids and everything. But your little boy has still left home, or your daughter is married to another man that hopefully he's the hero in her
right.
life now.
Yeah.
So live with as little regret as possible. And if you don't show up and don't go see, then it's something you'll always wonder about. And possibly there's somebody there that needed to talk to you or connect with you on that level, or just on any level that the Marines have, mm-hmm. that they might not get any other way. So I'm not one who wants to just keep it all about Fallujah. Aaron, they deployed on February 29th, and by April 26th, he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the hard things was I was cut off. And I've talked with some who have been injured, like Costello.
Yeah.
You know, he mentioned, yeah, that's a weird thing. When, you know, you're not getting the news, you're not getting the briefs, you're not to just all of a sudden be cut off. And so I started early on reaching out. Well, there was a thing called, it's still there, but after we started losing so many, the poor man who started it just couldn't, I'm sure, keep up with it any longer, but it was called Fallen Heroes Memorial.
Okay.
And this was 2004, so there wasn't, you know, there wasn't Facebook or anything like that. I did start a blog for a while, but I would check in on that Fallen Heroes Memorial every day, sometimes several times a day. And that's how I got to know Rettenberger.
Uh-huh.
And by the time that we actually met in person, it was like, and that was because he did come to the Silver Star ceremony in July of 2005, him and Doc Duty.
Mm.
But it was like Rettenberger and I basically already knew each other.
Yeah.
That was a place he would pour his soul out and I would pour mine back out to him.
Yeah.
And so I'm so thankful that we do have these mediums that we can go to talk to each other and kind of get to know each other. But it's the reunions for me that is, that's the personal time. That's the face-to-face time. That's where you begin to know the unique personalities.
Right.
You know?
Well, go ahead.
I was about to say, even though we all are family, we're all still very different. You know, we are individuals. And sometimes on social media, it's hard to get to know an individual because you don't know who they're saving face for out there. And that's kind of how I even started with the guys. Because I actually did lose a baby son 10 years before Aaron. And I put up a wall and I shut that down inside me. Plus, I was very young.
Right.
And I had just graduated Texas Tech University in 2003. My degree was in writing. And 4 months later, Aaron was gone. So I turned from fiction to memoir. And I, for a while, I worried after a while because I felt like by that time I knew this stuff is going to come out somewhere later in your life. It's going to come out in harmful ways. You need to talk now. And so I knew they weren't going to talk. So I talked, you know,
yeah.
and I guess I tried to be sort of like, what do you call that?
I'm thinking proactive, like a, but I don't know if that's the word you're looking for.
Well, kind of like the springboard or whatever that.
Okay.
Maybe this isn't how you're feeling, but here's how I feel, and you might recognize a little bit.
Okay.
Of yourself in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was very proactive. I don't really write anymore. I have to use my voice with this wonderful Texas accent.
It's beautiful. What you need to do is start a podcast because you are good.
Gosh.
You are good at it.
Well, I told Leota, I said, you know, my mom was the same way, and my sister used to say to us, y'all don't get out enough, because when you get out then and you start talking, nobody can shut you up.
That's a good thing on podcasts. That's a good thing. Well, I wanted to say, you were talking about, when we were talking about my personal story, before Broken Bow, I would, when you said that you should be there and all that nice, the nice things you were saying to me, I would have said, thank you very much. I do appreciate that, but I wouldn't have believed it. The miracle, the thing that changed for me is that I genuinely do believe that now. And I know I can't be the only one, you know, I know for a fact that I'm not. And I know that there are other guys that, that have found that same thing too. And so it's, thank you for saying that. And I believe you 100% now.
Well, and you have to show up to even know that, you know, and I'm not saying that I know literally everybody can make it. Like I think of, Morales right now, and you know, his wife is fighting breast cancer. There are times that you absolutely cannot
right
come. It's right. Not even a good idea. Ethan Place was going through fixing to be doing getting a kidney at our 10-year one.
Of course.
I said, Lord, no, don't need to. So there are times that you absolutely can't. I don't mean to sound like, oh, well, just get your priorities straight. No, sometimes priority is the wife fighting breast cancer or getting a kidney put in your body.
Yeah.
But if you can make one, if there's any way possible, if somebody will watch your dogs or cover your shift or whatever, even if you can't come for the full time, come for a day and then you'll know. You yeah. won't have to just believe it from somebody else's mouth. Because, I mean, it just happens. It yeah. opens up right there. There's no little silence time of, okay, well, here we all are, and what do we want to talk about?
Right.
You know,
well, and then maybe next year you have more more time in advance to set up. Right. Once you understand that it's not what you thought it was, then next year you'll have more time to get things in line so you can make it. And you know, I agree
right.
with you. I agree with you. Does it, how much, I'm sure it's, I don't know. I can't speak on it. What is it like to hear all of these, stories about your son? I mean, I know that a lot of them are funny because he was such a funny guy, but,
was funny.
Yeah. What's that like? I mean, I, as a parent now, my children are much younger, but as a parent now, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, and I don't think it's a great idea. So I'm just gonna listen to your words. But that's gotta be very difficult, and you've already said very healing at the same time.
Well, it really isn't difficult. I love hearing the stories, and I told Rick Loomis, he sent me a picture of Finn Cannon and Aaron reading mail. It was the day or 2 days before Aaron was killed, and Finn Cannon lost his hand and part of his arm and everything. Yeah. I said, there's not one single thing I don't want to know. But I can't imagine not wanting to know, although I do know there are people that are like that, but I'm just not. I'm a details person. I love to hear the funny stories about him. They don't have to worry that they'll shock me. I raised him. I know who he was. But I've got to say, as much as I do love hearing the stories, and I can listen to them over and over, I love hearing about y'all too. I mean, because y'all all are, you know, pretty funny guys. Yeah. I mean, there might be some that are super serious, but I can't say I've met one yet. And to watch y'all interact with each other, just like Leota cooking in the kitchen and different ones coming in there, and then Brown showing me how the little crawdads walked, and I mean, y'all are just fun.
It's too much.
Aaron was there a short time, so it's not all about Fallujah for me.
Right.
And I know most of that y'all probably aren't even going to talk about around me, although I wish everybody could know that you can. But it's watching y'all interact and bounce off of each other the way you do, your stories and your laughter and just the camaraderie. You know, y'all are the proud, the few, and it all makes perfect sense to me once I got around the Marines.
Right.
You know, I was in the Army. I was more concerned about, well, here, Aaron, if you would just study a little bit harder, you know, you could get into a job that when you get out, da-da-da. And, oh, he just looked at me like I had absolutely lost my mind. He wanted to go be a machine gunner. And I thought, well, he has found his legal gang.
Yeah. You can't deny it sometimes. They say that we were not made that way. We were born that way, and I believe it.
Yeah, it's a special and thank God for it, because we need the warriors. It's not every day, and I think that's hard on warriors when they come back. And maybe the war's been over with for a little while. And I'm sure that they feel underappreciated. And like last night, Greg and I were watching the movie The Covenant. And when I had read that it flopped at the box office, Greg is like, how in the world could this movie flop? And I said, Greg, people are so fickle. When war's over, they don't want to hear about it or,
right,
you know, but let that bad day come, and everybody is looking around for y'all, and that is just who y'all are.
Yep.
You're not needed 365 days a year, but when you're needed, you are so needed, because the other side of it, even though I can watch and listen and everything, I am not that person who could go be in that. I would have everybody messed up. I wouldn't know my directions. I wouldn't be able to hit a target. I mean,
I don't know. I feel like you'd be a hell of a warrior.
Well, I could probably fight or maybe outrun them. There was a date, but you know, I have a tremor. I never even qualified with the weapon. I got high PT in our battalion. Every day, I still have calluses on me because every day they would take me out to the firing range. Well, you better get it today, Austin, or you're getting recycled. You shoot like a chimpanzee. I mean, every day I didn't know if I was going home or.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting waived through basic training. My husband, I met him in Panama. He's from Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You are the only person in the world I know that ever happened to." And then I was stationed in D.C. I didn't have to go out and qualify. And when I hit Panama, they didn't have computers. So my NCOIC just used a fountain pen to qualify me. I could always zero, but by the next day when you'd go out to qualify, your tremor would be in a different place.
Yep.
But I have a warrior spirit, but I do not have the skills and the savvy that it takes to be in the infantry. And it takes a lot of that. You've got to know those grid coordinates. You've got to be able to hit a target, and you've got to be able to work under pressure. So
yeah, for a group of people that everybody likes to call a bunch of dumbasses, we sure do get the job done in a pretty radical way.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, totally. to explain something, I know that you know this, but let's just say there's someone listening that doesn't. I think the biggest contributing factor to our, and I've talked about this plenty of times, and excuse me, but to our sense of humor and the way that we do get along and camaraderie and all that, I think it's because when you get put in very tough situations, there's I only see it as two different options. You can laugh or you can bitch and complain, and they don't really. The Marine Corps itself doesn't handle a whole lot of bitching and complaining. So we all just chose to make the most fun out of the worst possible case scenario. And it made life better. I mean, while it sucks, at least we're all sucking together and let's laugh about it, you know? So, I mean, we come up with some stuff to say, but that's what we have to do to make life better. Well, hey,
I totally agree.
I like these stories. Can you tell me, tell all of us, do you remember, I know you do, when did Aaron come up with this wild idea about being a Marine? Was it one day, or did he get in trouble and have to make a decision, or did his granddaddy do it, or where did all this come from? Could you tell us?
He actually signed up in the delayed entry mm-hmm. a year before.
So did I.
And then... He talked to a guy, it was probably about halfway through, that I don't know, if you're getting recycled or you're getting a different job or whatever, you get put on post detail.
Okay.
And he talked to somebody that was on post detail. And I said, "Aaron," he said, "I'm getting out of this, Mom. No, there's no way I'm going to go and do this." And I'm like, "Aaron, Skinner is on post detail. That'll last about 3 weeks. It's like the worst job. Till you get to permanent party, you're not gonna, it's not supposed to be a cakewalk."
Yeah.
But then I had his back x-ray where I can't remember. His dad either has an extra bone or missing a bone in, I don't know on what part of your anatomy, somewhere on your back.
Okay. But
I said, "Okay," because I was always Aaron's rescue person. "You want in, we'll get you in. You want out, you want, we'll get you out." But anyway,
right.
I said, "He's not going to be able to go. Here's his back x-ray." And so they did. He went ahead and got out of that. Is the very day he graduated high school, and that nearly didn't happen because he flunked his math test. I went up there begging for them to let him retake his math test. And they're like, no way. But anyway, yeah, two or three girls tattled on the teacher that they got to retake theirs, and they did let him retake it. He got to walk. He got to graduate. And that night, we took him to Cattle Baron to eat, and he was slinging ranch dressing halfway from the salad bar to hurry up. He was going to Ridosa, moving there that night, starting his life over, and going to move furniture, you know, up and down the mountains mm-hmm. and stuff. Well, so he graduated 2001, May 2001. Then we had the 9/11, and by October 22nd, he was sworn in. And so even though he entered into service from Sunray, Texas, is where it shows, because he went to go see his dad for a couple of weeks, and that's where he actually enlisted from. He enlisted at the same MEP station in Amarillo that I did.
Wow.
And so he was sworn in by October 22nd, and you know, the rest
that's
is
it,
history.
Huh? Wow. That's always funny to me, because it never seems like these stories are, well, I didn't have shit else going on, or I heard the Marine Corps paid a lot of money towards college, or, you know, there's never it's never some kind of
Aaron, I wasn't interested in school at all. And I said, well, you get to travel. He said, Mom, I'm not like you. I don't even care about traveling. I don't have to see the world or whatever. Every little thing I kept trying to get him to retake his ASVAB test. No, he was doing what he wanted.
Yeah.
And he did not talk to any other recruiter but the Marines.
No.
That's what he was dead set on.
See, and so that's where I think that makes total sense, that we weren't made, we were born that way. I mean, you know, I don't know what your recruiter station looked like in Amarillo, but I'm guessing there was Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine. I'm guessing everybody was there. You could have stopped at any desk, and you probably would have got a bonus. You probably would have got a good duty station. You probably would have gotten all kinds of perks. But
I was 33. I actually gotten the only one that would even take me by the. I chased them, too, like I chased y'all.
Right.
It took me a year and a half to get in, because at that time, all I had was a GED. They said, female GED, there's no war going on. You've got to have 15 college hours in lieu of that high school diploma.
Yeah.
So I immediately enrolled in school, and I spent the next year and a half I was 33 when I joined the Army. I think it's changed now. Of course, we have had several wars since then, but back in the day, I enlisted in 1988. It was... you know, I think the cutoff for the Navy was like 24 or 27.
Yeah.
The Army would take me till I was 35.
Right.
So I had just enough time to get in.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah. When was Aaron born? What's his birthday? Because I'm a 82 baby too.
Yeah, he was born July 1st, 1982, and okay. He was circumcised on July 4th.
Oh, yeah.
I call that guy his circumcision with the United States, the 4th of July.
See, now, I'm guessing that there is a bunch of people listening that do not know that about Mr. Austin, and that is fantastic.
That's great. Fantastic.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I am so honored to be able to talk to you, Dion. I really do appreciate it. And I look forward to many more reunions hanging out with you, especially now that we have this bond. My wife loves you on Facebook. She's Alicia Masters.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she says you guys talk about the dog
and
all the time.
I really loved reading about her. She's been into all this bike stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, She's built for speed, huh?
Yep, yeah, she is. She's
a
wild
one. I bet y'all have a lot of fun together.
Yeah, she works for Major League Baseball. She used to tour with Do Tour and X Games, and I mean, she's had some pretty wild careers, you know. And now she's a full time stepmom and a wonderful wife to my ass. So I mean, that's another job in and of itself. But yeah, I got lucky on that one.
And Mommy the Echo.
Yep, and so most importantly, Mom the Echo. I could starve outside the street. That dog's going to get fed. You better believe it.
Oh, I know. Like I said, we take vacation for our high energy dogs not to be boarded somewhere.
Yep.
You know, so yep. I get it.
All right. Well, hey, young lady, it was wonderful talking to you. I will let you get back to those puppies. Of course, if you ever need anything, please don't, you know, feel free to reach out. I'm always here for you. Thank you so much.
The very same is true for me.
All right. I know it is.
And I look forward to seeing you at the next reunion then.
I hope I can get that worked out. Mine are young and work and all that stuff, but I save some leave days just for that. So.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I really do appreciate you all. You folks in Texas, Dion's family, thank you so much. It means so much to me. And again, Dion and I were talking a lot about the reunion. So please, if you could, visit legacymilitaryreunions.org. Check it out. Like I'm trying to tell you guys, for your family members, this is a Gold Star family member, a mother of a United States Marine who unfortunately was killed in action in Iraq. She goes to these things with us. You have to understand the importance of these. So if you know anyone, family members, anyone, doesn't have to be combat, does not have to be Marine Corps. This is good for people to get back to these things and to fill that little part of their soul or their spirit or whatever you believe in. Dion just got done telling you, she has no reason to bullshit. I'm telling you, everybody I'm going to talk to, that's been there and knows will tell you this stuff is very important for mental health and love and just overall to be a happier human being. So, please reach out and, check out the website, and it has all the information you can need. And we will do the best to help you out. So, again, thank you very much for listening today. Dion, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
It was a pleasure.
All right. We'll talk to you guys soon. Dion, hang on the phone for me for a minute, okay? I'll talk to you.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Be good to yourselves. Take care of yourself and help somebody out along the way, okay? Talk to you soon. Bye.